Appropriate time for you to turn to the lady next to you or someone in your row and just say one thing that encouraged your heart and your hope this weekend while we've been together. Could you do that real quickly? You could maybe give her a squeeze too. Okay. All right. And we'll get Pastor Gerald to get our picture. Wouldn't that be fun? Let's come up to the platform and Pastor Gerald can get our picture. Okay. Yes, I know. Abby, let's stand in the front. Yes, ladies, all of us. Marie, stand here, please, dear. No, we want you down there, Pastor. I'm sorry. I just had to give you, you don't know my passcode? Ladies, would you all come up to the platform and let's squeeze together and see if we can do this?
Okay, we can stay over here.
But will you be able to see us? Okay, all right. Come here. Okay. Wouldn't it be fun? Let's have some of these older ladies not have to climb up so high. So Okay. Squeeze in, girl.
Say again? I can. Yeah, you want to bring it up? Okay, so first, to get you all smiling, I found this text on Miriam's phone. And since she gave me the password, I'm just going to go ahead and read it. Oh, never mind. Let's go back. Okay, so there's probably going to be several photos that we're going to take. As soon as I... Oh, you do? No, 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 not at all. Okay. Hey, so we'll start with this one first. Okay, now for the professional one here. Okay, so my assistant's going to help me here. Okay, there we go. Smiles, big smiles. That's it. Work it. Work the camera. Okay, we're good.
Okay, we're going to start in Psalm 71. We're going to zoom in on verse 14 and 15 and 16. And then we are going to get our little selves to Philippians chapter 4. All right, thank you, Pastor. And thank you so much. It's one of my prayer team members. You can't believe how many people pray for us when we're doing ministry, because, you know, not only is this the busy time of the year, but before Pastor goes, could we just say, what an awesome church. Thank you so much. And he was one of our big worker bees. Woo! 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 Oh, and I got to tell you, he was one of the busiest ones, wasn't he? And the food, are you like fed up? So good food. And I just feel like they have taken care of our needs and then beyond, haven't they? It's just been so blessed. I don't know about you. I look forward to this retreat so much, and they're here, and they're like, we're elite. You're packed up. Don't leave. Stay for tomorrow. Your pastor won't like it if I say that. And your husband might not either, so we don't want that. I don't want to be the bad girl. Okay. But it has just been fun to be around the Word. I don't look around. Do you think we could have a few more girls? next year. Two of my sweet friends are speaking to you next year, Grace Albright and Faith, Potter. White, I knew that. And I think my daughter's doing a breakout session, so it's going to be so fun. You know what? If you just invited a couple girls to go along, wouldn't it be fun if they said, we don't have enough room? I'm serious. Our Wisconsin group has about 500 girls. They have to actually rent a camping like facility. Wouldn't it be great if you guys just were busting out the doors? Because it's a good thing, right? And we need more of. She told me she wasn't sure she should come because it seemed like older people. We need more of this sweet age, right? Recruit some of these young people, right? Amen. Don't we want to pass on and tell the generation to tell the next generation? Isn't that what we're about? Recruit girls, okay? This is the Lord's work. I won't be here next year, but I'm going to be excited to hear how great it was. Woo! If the Lord tarries. I don't mind. If he doesn't want to tarry, let's just meet upstairs. Or in the clouds. Wouldn't that be great? So I meet new girlfriends, and sometimes we get attached so fast, and I just like, I hope we get to be in the same neighborhood of heaven together. Wouldn't that be fun? Oh, it's going to be glorious. I hope you have that hope. I hope you've set your hope in God and you are continually hoping. This is not at all what I was going to speak to you about. But I stayed up late the night before we left because I wanted to do this psalm and I wasn't happy with what I had done. And I was tweaking it. And I got here and I'm like, I don't know why I spent that time because it's not what we need to look at today. I hope you'll bear with me. The passage we're going to look at ultimately in Philippians does not have hope in it. But I want to tell you, if you don't have this formula right, you will never have hope. You won't sustain hope in your life. You will get lost. You're going to get carried along with the sweeping winds and storms that are all about us. But I want to look just briefly at Psalm 71. It's interesting that this the psalmist bursts out and says, "But I will hope continually and yet praise thee more and more." This was an aged person that writes it. If you look at the context, he talks about don't forsake me when because I'm gray haired and I'm older and, you know, he's wiser and all those things. But he says, you know, don't forsake me in my old age. Because he says in verse 18, I want to continue. I want to show thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Our hope is to pass on. Isn't that wonderful? It's not to keep to ourselves. It's enough for us, but it's to pass on. Amen. Okay, did you get too much lunch? Girls, do you know how to say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So, I wish we had time to look at this psalm and our next thing. But it's interesting that if we were to walk through the psalm, he is affirming the truth about God. And then he says, I'm going to do this. This is the truth about God. I'm going to do this. And I think the crux of the matter comes in verse 14 all the way down to 16 when he says, I'm going to hope continually. And he says, verse 16, I will go on in the strength of the Lord. That's our purpose, right? We have hope so that we can go on in the strength of the Lord. Not in our wonderful muscles, but we go on in the strength of the Lord. And then we're going to show this generation and the generation to come the glory and the power of God. I think that if I remember right, there are 14 allusions in this psalm to our mouths, to prayer, our mouths to praise, songs, things that we're using, showing our hope with. And it comes out of us. It doesn't just show on our countenance, but we're speaking our hope to one another. There is something powerful in this spoken word. Isn't it interesting when you, like the songs we've been, thank you so much for the sweet songs you picked for us. And that peppy song that like, wow. You know, one of the things I don't like about some of our newer music that's out is when I get done, I feel like I've been at a funeral. I like, Christ is sufficient. How does it go? Christ is sufficient. It's such a perky song. We didn't sing that one, but I love some of the perky songs. Doctrinally rich, but they're not like, we are walking to the cemetery. I love perky. And shouldn't Christians be the joyful ones? Amen. I hope that's in your heart. Okay, so we're going to look at this. We are going to now transition to Apostle Paul. So if you will find Philippians in your Bible, we are going to get to this beautiful book, and some of you are going to say, oh, that's the book on joy. Well, it is a book about joy, but you know, actually, there's almost more in this book about our mind and the things that we are thinking. And I want to tell you, girls, if we don't have our mind right, we are not capable of continuing in our hope. And this is really crucial. And so let's start with prayer. God, you have been so gracious to uphold your servant and many other women that have participated in speaking. Lord, this has been a major team effort. So much work and preparation for these days together. And Lord, you have met with us. We have sensed your Holy Spirit working in our hearts, stirring up our remembrance to do. God, as we have this last session together, it's important, and it's not the shortest one, but God, help us to pay attention and work together through this text that we may see wonderful truth out of your law, out of your word, and may we have a plan to do your word. Oh, God, thank you so much for your goodness to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Statistically, anxiety is one of the biggest issues that young people are facing. Did you know that in one of the recent surveys, 91% of our young people said that they are stressed out, like that they don't know what to deal with at least once a week. I mean, to the point of they don't know what to do with it. 80% say they have difficulty sleeping. 77% say they have an eating disorder. Wow, I do too. It's called I like food. Okay. Those guys with the ice cream, I kept saying, get away from me. Get behind me. Okay. And believe it or not, nearly 3/4 of our students, but 3/4 of college age students admit that they are depressed. Do you have hope for them? I hope so. I hope you're sharing it. And I hope you're targeting neighbors. I hope you're targeting the girl in the grocery store. And I know sometimes we, you know, the workers come and go, but I want to tell you, you can be contagious in Walmart. We got to lead a young lady to the Lord. And we saw her a few times at Walmart, and this was when my children were little. And I remember going through the line and asking her how her day was, and we gave her a gospel tract. Well, the next time we were in the store, like she left her spot, and she ran down to us, and she said, do you have another one of those papers? I lost it. And you know, later when she came to our church and heard the gospel and got saved, she was a young mom, a single woman. And she told me, she said, do you know how mean people are at Walmart? And she said, you want to know how my day was? And every time you would come through my line, you would ask how I was doing. A little thing. But let's take advantage and leverage what we have for the Lord. Amen? Our just kindness. And when they're being grumpy with you, you know what you say? I'm sorry you're having a bad day. Maybe this will help you. You know, I'll pray for you today. Give her a good gospel track and be kind anyhow. And that just disarms them. They think you're an idiot, but they want to read it. You know, like, okay. So it sort of seems like there's an epidemic of anxiety out there, and there's no vaccine for it, girls. But there are weapons, and so we need to be using our confident hope in God, right? We're reminded as we start this session that we are being held by the power of God. We've kind of started at the beginning about our living hope, our lively hope, our living hope because of the resurrection of from the dead. And the Bible goes on to say in the next verse that we are being kept by the power of God. Is there anything greater than being kept by the power of God? We are being kept every day that we live, and we are laying hold of that anchor that's our hope, right? In the certainty, we have a non-lying God, and his word, we hold on to the veracity of his word. Amen. And his word is more important to us than meat and drink. And it should be more precious to us than those things. Okay. So if we're going to take care, if we're going to keep our hope sustained, which is what we're going to look at right now, we are going to have to practice extreme spiritual discipline. Are you ready? To practice extreme spiritual discipline. Okay. Before we get there, I just want to bring to your mind a scripture that you know, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Paul who was often in adversity, spoke of monitoring the thoughts. Let's just turn there. Can you hold your spot just a second? Because I think if you don't know this verse, it should be one where your Bible kind of turns open to. I use it quite frequently, and I speak it to other ladies quite frequently. But in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, Paul says that we have weapons that are not carnal. And he doesn't mean like what you might think of carnal. He means fleshly, like we have weapons that are not like atomic bombs, swords, bullets. But he said just because they're not fleshly doesn't mean that they aren't mighty. We have weapons that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Wow, that sounds powerful, doesn't it? Like pull down an edifice, pull down the gates of a prison or something. It sounds mighty, doesn't it? Our weapons are mighty through God, able to pull down even the strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Do you know you are not responsible for every first thought that comes to your mind? Praise the Lord. I'd be in so much trouble. I might be sent to purgatory. But I am responsible for what I do with that first thought that comes to me. That first thought that comes to me, I need to filter it. Is this a thought I should keep in my brain? Or is this a thought I should cast out because it could bring me into bondage? Right? So we have to be so careful to bring our thoughts into captivity of Christ. Now, with that as our backdrop, let's turn to Philippians 4. Let's turn back there. May I just tell you that thoughts have consequences? And if the weapons of our warfare are powerful to cast down, think deconstruct high and besetting sins. Fortresses of prideful habits or sinful activities that try to exalt themselves over the knowledge of God. Have you ever in your Bible reading gotten to one of those hard verses like wives? What's the next word? Submit. Oh, did you really say it out loud? I don't speak on that anymore because I always get tested on it. I preach on submission and then wham, I'm like, oh, girl. That's why I don't preach on patience because I'm going to get it. But have you ever gotten to a passage like that and you say, who is he to tell me what to do? God is your creator. And God has every right to tell us what to do. Amen. We belong to him and we are his, right? But our thoughts can try to exalt over God, and that's idolatry. We need to bring those thoughts down and bring them into alignment with the obedience of Christ. So, okay, girls. Did you know, and just as a preface before we even read the passage, a beautiful building, the most ornate, gorgeous building, can be brought to a pile of rubble by termites. Did you know that? They start very small, and there are termites all around us, and you don't even see it until the damage is done. And there are spiritual termites trying to take over our lives, and we have to be so careful of these termites. Did you know that the human brain is so interesting? My sister is, some of you may know Dr. Love. He's in charge of our missions on campus. He was a preacher's, he was a missionary's kid in Brazil. And my sister's married to him. And so my sister's in the library and she's always sending me cool things. And she sent me this article about how the brain, if we keep having certain thoughts, it actually carves like a trail in your brain. So maybe a word or a series of words, instantly your brain, because you've done it enough times, just starts like circling around that little trail that you have made. And the author of this article says, wouldn't it be great as believers if we started digging some biblical truth trenches? And you know, because our brains have the plasticity, we can make new trails. So that the very word that used to haunt us and send us into fear can actually be the word that we go, oh, yes, I'm going to think the truth from the Bible instead of going down a trail that's going to lead us to misery or fear or just being sidelined from what God wants us to do. And, you know, I've seen many women and I've seen it in myself. You know, that part of our brain that's the amygdala that either says fight or fly, you know, flight or fight. You know, like, either, or I'm out of here. You know, that little part of us, Isn't it interesting that your husband could come home and say, you know what? Some of the people at work got pink slips today. And what can your brain do? Go from zero to a million in like 10 seconds. We are destitute and we are sitting on the curb and we're going, feed us, feed us. And I'm like, and your husband didn't even get the pink slip, but it's just your brain got you there, right? I had this really bad, one of my problems with being ready for this retreat was about 2 months ago, I talked to a doctor online and he diagnosed me with an eye infection. And I got started with this eye infection thing. Now, remember, my husband only has one eye. He still is able to drive daytime for us and does a beautiful job, even through Chicago. I started thinking about my eyes because I got all the way down to my fourth different prescription and I wasn't better. And I thought to myself, do I need to go to an ophthalmologist? If I'm blind and he only has one eye, we're going to be in big trouble. What kind of thinking was that? It was not beautiful. It was not beautiful thinking. You know, there are words that can put us in a tailspin. Words like bankruptcy, infidelity, cancer, divorce, abuse. And these, we can even talk to ourselves in ways that are just so self-defeating. Girl, you're a loser. Everybody else, this happens to them, but you are such a loser. And who wants, girls, turn off those bad thoughts. Those do not honor God. You are a child of the King. And His eyes are upon you and His ear is open to your every cry. He loved you enough to send His Son to die for you so that you could be His, not just friend, right? You could be His very own child. Okay, it's getting warm in here, isn't it? And I can only, okay, let's do what we can do. Okay, I think we can do this. Can you help me? Okay, one of you help me. I'm just like cooking up here. It's hooked on me. Okay, all right. We're going to get back to it, girls. You got it? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just cooking, and it will just take me longer to do this. Am I together? Do I still have my glasses on? Whew. Okay. Okay, so where are we? Where are we? Okay. Words. The father of lies is the master of deception. He overstates, he exaggerates, he inflates, and gives you irrational thoughts. And you do not have to keep them in your brain. Lasso that baby and say, get out of here. I refuse to think that lie from Satan. Well, with that as a backdrop, we are going to look at Philippians 4. And girls, you're going to say, oh, we have studied this passage so many times. There's nothing new in there for me. Maybe there isn't, but I hope there is. And I hope that you'll come to it with an attitude of, I want to learn from this passage. And just as a backdrop, we are going to start looking at Philippians 4, and we're going to pick up just for background. We're going to start at chapter 4, verse 4. I love Ryrie's little outline of this passage. He calls the first verses peace with others, then peace with ourselves, and then peace in circumstances. But we're going to just look at peace in ourselves. And ladies, if we don't get this right, we cannot hope. We will not go on to serve God. We are going to get sidelined. So let's go here. And you know, I talk to ladies all the time and I hear a lot of problems of ladies. And you know, my young girls come to me and they say, Mrs. M, you don't understand. My mom taught me how to worry. One of our really sweet girls on campus, a senior. And she said, Mrs. M, our family does this professionally. We all know how to worry, and it's our family kind of language. We talk to each other and worry. Great. I said, well, why don't we get this cured, and maybe you could be contagious at home. Maybe you could be a little convicting when you just speak truth. Just speak truth, you know? Amen? Don't hand this down to your daughter, okay? It's not a good inheritance. Give her something else. I don't know, some beautiful jewelry or something, but don't hand her down worry, okay? So we're going to start with a passage where it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, in case you missed it the first time, it is your obligation to rejoice. It didn't say everything's going well. It just says rejoice. The man in prison can speak to us, right? Rejoice in the Lord always. This is my responsibility, no matter what's going on. And I love what my husband says. Embedded in every commandment is God's ability for us to obey. He wouldn't command it if we can't do it. Right? I've heard people say, well, God says, don't fear, don't fear. I can't do that. God commanded it. You can do it. Because guess what? Every time we step to obey, God steps in and says, here's the grace. You can do it. So we can rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. I love that. And I got to get to my notes here. Okay, where are my notes? Okay. Ha! We'll find them. Okay. Where are they? We will find them. Girls, tell me to take a deep breath. I found it. Okay. Your gentle, your reasonable nature in the light of the Lord's soon return is a testimony. I want you to know that. We're living in an age of very harsh, brass women. And us having a gentle, moderate spirit is a huge testimony, is it not? But that's just the backdrop. Now let's get to the meat of the thing. Be careful for nothing. Let's just pause there. What's in your nothing space? Fill in the blank. Be careful about nothing. Okay. So what kind of things do you think that covers when Paul would say, be careful, don't have anxious thoughts about anything? What's in the blank? What's in your blank? You're not worried about all these things, but there's just this one little area. Is it legit for you to worry about that? Anything. Help me out. What are typical things people have in that blank that they're worrying about, they're fretting about? What is it? Children. Health. Chores. Okay. Yeah, because we have so much to get accomplished. Grandchildren. Yes. Jobs. The world circumstances. That's a big one. But what now? Parents. Did you say parents? Yes. What else? Money. How are you going to fill up your gas tank? All those things, right? The price of eggs. Who knew that if you were an egg, do they call them farmers? I don't know. Well, if you have chickens, wow, you are going to just, no, let's not go there. Let's keep on going. Okay. So, I'm having a hard time keeping my ducks in a row, girl. Thank you, Lord, for helping us get this far. I think we'll be able to finish it. Hang on to your hats, okay? So we are going to focus on not being worried about anything. Now, could we pause here and say, worry is a sin? Now, you know, it's not a sin that we often get convicted about. You know why? Because you aren't sleeping around. You aren't being immoral. You aren't some wicked woman that's always showing off her body. And by the way, modesty is still God's command. And it may not be cool with some people, but it is beautiful in God's eyes. And I hope it's high on your agenda. And the first thing a man should see when he sees you is not this or this or how tight you are poured into your. And I don't know how any women ever got convinced they could wear tights in public and think they were pants. It is too much information. Whoa. I'm sorry. Christian women and leggings, unless you got on something long, girls, or unless you're wearing them underneath your something else in the wintertime when you're freezing. Okay. I'm sorry. That was a bunny trail, but it's a good bunny trail. Okay. Okay. So where are we going with this? But because we aren't doing some blatant sin, we think it's okay because a lot of people worry. It is sinful. It is eating you like a termite. It's undermining your faith. Let me just ask you, ladies, think about it. What are you really in control of? I can't do anything about the weather. I can't do anything about the silly driver in front of me that keeps cutting me off, even if I fuss at him. I might be able to back off or get around him. They're texting. This drives my husband crazy. Men think that other guys are on the road just trying to cut them off. I don't know why guys think that. I don't think that way. I just say they're not paying attention. They don't even know we're here, you know, but men say they're, oh, you know, anyhow, another subject. Okay. What are you in control of? You know, there are a few things I'm really in control of. I'm in control of my responses, my attitudes, my obedience, my worship, and my reverence. And there's a lot of other things I am not able to control. So why am I worrying? Do you have a father? Do you know the verse that says, your father knoweth? I say that to myself a lot of times when I get a in my throat. Your father knows, Miriam. Stop that. Your father knows. Why are you taking the reins? We don't need to. We are to be careful, anxious about nothing. And you know what? It's so funny. I was preparing, and I didn't think I was teaching this lesson, but I was trying to get things ready, and I was fretting. How will I ever get this done? I got this to do, and this to do, and this to do. And I'm like, Miriam, be anxious for what? Nothing. Okay, so we have to talk to ourselves. Are you coaching yourself? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? If you're going to be a spiritual believer, you better coach yourself. You better smack yourself in the face. Say, girl, whap, 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 don't think that way, right? Oh, so vital. Did you know that God provides a powerful weapon against worry? It's so profound. He says, instead of worrying, guess what you can do? In everything, you can pray. Does that sound powerful? Most of you don't think so. You know why I know we think this? I've heard people say, and I caught myself saying, all I can do is pray for them. All you can do is pray. You poor thing. I'll get out my violin. All you can do is pray? Prayer moves heaven and earth. And then if you want to go a step further, you know, you could mix that with fasting and prayer. It's not popular, but it's biblical. Skip a meal. Don't eat for a day or two. Devote that time just to talk to God. If it's big enough to miss a meal over, it's important. Talk to God. Why should you care it? It is God's remedy for worry. Pray. But why do we do everything else but? We get on the media, we call people, we die a little, we get an ulcer, we go crazy. I've actually known a woman I think went crazy. And I think she let herself go crazy. It wasn't hereditary. I watched her, she was in our local church, and it was early, and I was a young pastor's wife, and I couldn't believe how fretful this woman got, and I kept trying to pull her aside and say, honey, this is eating you. I watched that woman, who was one of the most meticulous women you had ever seen. She kept her house like it was being prepared always for the cameramen. She would serve the most elegant meals. I watched her become a raving maniac. She got this close to my face screaming at me, and then it wasn't long after that they put her in the mental institution. I think she let her mind go. Are you going to do that with your mind? God gave you your mind. You are responsible to keep your thoughts in line. And I love this. So our remedy is to pray and to petition, prayer and supplication. That's that humble entreaty coming before God saying, I have nothing to give you, God. I don't know why you're hearing my prayer, but God, will you hear me? It's that urgent prayer of almost a beggar who comes before God saying, I have to have answers from you, God. I have to be liberated from this worry that is crushing me. I want to tell you, girls, you are teaching your daughters and your children how to live the Christian life. If you have kids in your house, if you have friends, you're teaching them how to handle pressure. And you can't do it, you know, there's not a dress rehearsal. You got to do it right. Wow. And God can make you able. So, ladies, we're going to replace worry with prayer and petition. We're going to spread it out before the God whose eyes are upon us at all times. And then he says, you're going to use thanksgiving and bring those petitions unto God. Isn't thanksgiving sweet? Doesn't it sweeten everything? God, you bring your prayer request and you say, God, I know you're going to answer this. I'm going to thank you ahead of time for how you're going to answer this prayer. Thank him ahead of time. God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I have confidence in you. And we thank him and we spread it out before the Lord. And some of us are pretty good at doing this, but now the next part we may have a bigger issue with. But we don't want to miss verse 7, because if we do this, the Lord has said he will have a response to us. I love that. If we do those things, what will God supply us with? Do you love peace? I don't love peace at any cost, like peace in a family. Like, we got to sometimes do war in order to have peace. Like, you got to get Johnny down there and say, you aren't going to act like that in our house. And boom, boom, boom. You know, like, you got to do war to have peace. Girls, you're the mom, right? You don't mind your children. They mind you. And you love them. But they, obedience is the first. Let's not go there. We have other things to do. Okay, so, so the peace of God, which doesn't make any sense. It passes understanding. It's not even like, how is that possible for a person to have peace with all this going on? Don't you love being around somebody who's just gotten the most terrible news? Or a person that has all this adversity in their life, and they look like they're kind of floating in it. You know why they're floating in it? It's not that their feelings aren't shouting at them that, you know, do something about this. They're just experiencing what God promised to do for us. He's giving us peace. I love that. And the peace, which doesn't even make sense, is going to keep our hearts. That's our emotions, girls. Are we emotional? Never. It's going to keep our emotions intact and our thinking, our minds. We're not going to be irrational because the peace of God is going to come in and take control. But girls, if you want to keep it and you want to go ahead for God, you are going to have to focus like laser beam on the next two verses. Actually, it is the next two verses. Finally, brethren, finally, sisters, whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just and pure and lovely and of good report and virtuous, think and are praiseworthy, think on these things. Now, it kind of reminds me of the Garden of Eden. I don't know if this will resonate with you, but in the Garden of Eden, they were allowed freedom, right? Freely eat of all these trees, except for just one. They went right for it. Like, come on. What about this one? What about all these? There's a pomegranate. There's a, you know. They went for the one, didn't they? Well, Paul is saying you can move freely in this beautiful field where the thoughts are true and they're honest and just and pure and all these. Your mind can go happy anywhere in those fields. It's like, here are the parameters of good mental thoughts. Ladies, is that where you're taking your mind to? Is that the first thing you do? Or does your first thought go to, we are dying? I just want to give you some thoughts here. And I think this is important for us. The very first thing he says is, I want you to think on things that are true. So do we ever believe lies? Oh, yeah, every day. I'm like, that's a lie. I'm kicking that one out. Fulfill yourself, Miriam. You'll be so much happier. Put your foot down. Run your house. Those are not good thoughts. Kick those to the curb. Say, nope, God, I will let you lead through my boss, and I will trust you. Look past his face and look at the face of your Lord and say, I'm going to obey you, God. And then my thoughts will get in line, right? So, may I just say, not all truth is even, equal. So if we came in here to this afternoon, I know some of you are getting so tired. I'm going to try to keep you awake a little bit longer. Whatsoever things are true. Now, it is true that one out of one people die. Would you look at your neighbor and say, you are going to die? Now, that's barring the rapture. Okay? Now, did that help your neighbor? It's true. Maybe once in a while we need that reminder. But you know what? That's not the highest truth. I wrote down the highest truth just for us to think about it. Okay? One out of one die. But the highest truth is we're prepared to die. And with Christ, being with Christ is far better. And when our time comes to die, he's going to walk that path with us and we will know peace. And he will sustain us and carry us all the way home. Isn't that sweet? Said, we are all going to die. I can just imagine me arriving at chapel with all my students saying, we are going to die. We're going to die. It's the truth. Think on it. That really edifies us. No, the truth is, if one of the students come up to me and says, my mom has gotten a really bad report, and I say, let's pray for her because, you know, we would like to keep her here longer, but she knows the Lord. And we know that when our time comes, it's going to be far better. I think it's interesting. Don't you think the angels thought it was funny when, and let me finish the story. John the Baptist didn't get released from prison, did he? What happened to him? But Peter was released. We don't understand God's will for these men. One's released, one goes to dies. Don't you think some of the apostles, some of the believers were saying, "Oh, so sad about John the Baptist," and the angels are going, "Why? He didn't have to finish living down here. He got promoted to glory and he's already enjoying his reward. What in the world? Peter has to keep on living." Isn't the perspective different? The highest truth is where we should bring our brains. So, here's the truth. Someone betrayed you. Someone violated your trust. Maybe someone hurt your child. The truth is, in some way, in some higher way that we don't understand, God has allowed this in your family for your ultimate good and for God's glory. And maybe it's to bring an army of others to Christ. You know, Doc and I were talking about Patch the Pirate this week, as most of us have been. He lost an eye. And you know what? Most of us would have never even known who he was. He lost an eye and he didn't become a victim. He said, "I lost an eye, but you know what? I can be a pirate." I mean, who would think you lose your eye, you're going to become a pirate? And he has touched thousands of lives. It was the higher truth. I don't know about you, but you know what? Psalm 76:10 is a verse you should have indelibly on your heart. And you should be able to turn there. If you're able to find that for us, Psalm 76:10. The Bible says, "Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee." What? What is the author? The wrath of man is going to praise God? The remainder of wrath thou shalt restrain? How can God use wrath to bring praise to God? I can take you to a mountain outside of Jerusalem where the wrath of man brought many sons to glory. That's the ultimate wrath of God. Even in our own lives, the wrath of man can still bring God glory. And God is restraining the rest of wrath that will not bring him glory. Isn't that a peaceful verse in your heart? Wow. And God will give us grace. Our hearts ache in the pain of what others have suffered, but our pain does drive us to God. There are benefits, even in our pain and suffering. It's better to have a relationship with the one who has the answers than to have all the actual answers. Isn't that true? I'm glad I have a relationship with the one that understands why he's doing what he's doing, working all things together for our good. So what is the highest truth? Would you look real quickly with me, if you'll turn there, to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 20. I got to keep you awake just for a few more minutes. Ephesians 6. You can sleep all the way home unless you're driving. Oh, don't do that, girls. Okay. Ephesians 6 and verse 20. And he is, let's start in verse 18. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me." See what Paul asked for himself, "that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am a prisoner of Rome." He doesn't say he's a prisoner. He is a prisoner of Rome. Isn't that the truth? The highest truth for Paul, he says here. He doesn't say, "I'm a prisoner of Rome." He says, "I am an ambassador in bonds." He thought of the highest truth. He didn't say, "The Caesars, the so-and-so sent me here to prison." He says, "God sent me here. I'm on a mission. I'm representing my Savior, and I will do so faithfully." He didn't ask for deliverance. He asked for utterance. He asked for boldness. He wasn't a victim. And girls, if you will do this with your mind every time, and you will bring your thoughts into that beautiful field, and I wish we had more time to look at that beautiful field, but we do not. He was on assignment from God. May I just give you a couple quick things here, and we're going to really hasten now. If it had been my choice, I probably wouldn't have allowed one of the early church's first deacons, Stephen, to be stoned. But you know who was watching him be stoned? Saul, who became Paul. I believe he was the greatest witness to Saul. I believe it was his testimony that drove Paul on that road when he saw the risen Christ, to say, "You're Jesus. I heard Stephen say Jesus. And he fell before the Lord in submission. But I would have said, oh, don't make Stephen die. But he did. How about you? Would you have spared Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And yet they were one of God's greatest testimonies. Why would God make Mary and Martha wait 4 days for Lazarus? He's stinking, Lord, right? God wanted to show the glory of God. He wouldn't have seen the glory of God if God had just healed him. And maybe, but not in the same way as Lazarus coming out of a tomb after being dead this long. That was the glory of God. What about Daniel, who had to have a sleepover with lions? But these things only strengthened these people and made them stronger to serve. Amen. If you are thinking well, you're actually going to be able to glory in your tribulations. Won't that be something? And whatever you are suffering can be a platform to preach the gospel in a greater way. Ladies, will this help your hope keep on going? Is it fueling your hope, I hope? I hope it's fueling your hope. Okay, so let's keep on moving. I wish we had time to go back to Philippians. I wish we had time to look at every one of those things. But we had to touch on the things that were true. Ladies, if you will practice, I think of it sometimes as dental flossing. You know, you can't have good teeth. Your dentist says, you only have to floss the teeth you want to keep. Okay, I'll floss them all then. I think of this as mental hygiene. If we aren't thinking correctly, girls, we aren't going to have a beautiful mind. Sometimes when I'm dealing with a girl on campus I know is really having an issue or a friend of mine, I'll say, do you have beautiful thoughts? Are you having beautiful thoughts? They aren't beautiful if they aren't in that field. You better rein those thoughts in. But that's not everything he says. He says, if you want to keep this piece going so that you can have that hope, he says, there's one more piece of the puzzle. Verse 9, those things which you have learned, those things which you received, those things which you have heard, those things which you have seen in me. What's the next word? Do. Wow. Do these things and the God of peace shall be with you. The peace of God, the God of peace, shall be with you. Do you think there's some things that you need to see, La? You know, you got to think and then you got to do them. You got to do them. Let these thoughts percolate and then we do God's word. Our time is running so fast here, so I'm going to try to just quickly bring this. So we are not going to let our brain run around in a bad pasture, but we are going to do the word of God. Did you know that there are others watching us that learn the best by a pattern? I don't know. I am better. Don't give me like 20 pages of instructions. I like to see it. And you know what? A lot of young believers and a lot of young children need to see us doing God's word. If they see it, they go, oh, I got it. And we have got to do it. Isn't it interesting that Paul was able to say, what I have done, everything I've done, would you do that? Could you say, everything I'm doing, follow me? How's the next generation going to know how to live if we aren't patterning how they should live their life? You might not think you're an influencer. You are, whether you know it or not. People are following your life. I hope that as Paul, you could say, what you've seen in me, do. And that he was being humble, but we should also have that, that they could pattern their life after how we are following God. And we are going to close, if you will turn to Jeremiah 17, one of my favorite passages that I like to get to once in a while. It's just, I want to throw it in. It's like a free, extra for free. Okay. And I love this, that Jeremiah gives us an example. And I love contrast, don't you? Or I like befores and afters. Do you? I like befores and afters. But I learn a lot from a contrast. And Jeremiah talks about, this is the passage where we know our heart is deceitful. And our heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. We can't even know our own heart. But I love where he says in verse 5, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. What is he going to be like, the one that trusts himself? He's going to be like the heath in the desert that shall not see when good cometh. I'm in Jeremiah 17, verse 6. But he shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land, like not inhabited. Think of a desert. This is a description of what we would commonly call, help me out, a tumbleweed. It starts out, and it's really a lush green plant. And in the early spring, she's beautiful. She pops up. If you go out to the desert early, I don't know if you go out, you know, to California and you're in the desert, and early in the spring, it's beautiful. But it starts getting a little bit warm. And she goes, oh, it's a little bit warm here, a little bit warm. And pretty soon, a little wind comes along, and her roots aren't very deep. And pretty soon, she's kind of like coming out of the ground. And pretty soon, she's out of the ground, and a strong wind comes, and she's gone. And she won't even see when good comes. But the person that is trusting and has placed their hope in God is blessed, verse 7. Blessed is the man, the woman who trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. I love this. Don't miss it. This person is going to be like a tree that is planted by the waters, plural. And it says she's spreading out her roots by the river. She's not going to see when the heat comes. And she's not going to be chewing her fingernails saying, oh, it hasn't rained in 2 months. It hasn't rained in 6 months. I'm going to die. Nope, she's not doing that. She's putting down more roots. I love this. And it says she's not full of care, even in a year of drought. And neither will she cease from yielding fruit. I love it later in the passage. It calls the Lord the hope of Israel. Thou art my hope in the day of evil, verse 17. Ladies, I don't know about you, but a person who's continually hoping is like a tree who has deep roots. And she is putting out the green leaves. That means, guess what? She herself is being nourished. She's a healthy plant. She's not like the tumbleweed that's good for nothing and kind of dangerous. She is being sustained. And guess what? She's producing fruit. Is she producing fruit so she can eat it? Like, have you ever seen an apple tree? Like, the fruit isn't necessarily for our benefit. The fruit is for the next generation and to bless others and to have other trees planted. And we have a bigger goal than just being ourselves sustained. But you aren't going to do that if you don't set your hope in God. That started for me when I accepted Christ as my Savior. And it continues every day in my sanctification where I'm working with God. Not my justification, not my glorification, but my sanctification. I'm working with God to hope continually. Ladies, as we close, did God bring you here this weekend? Does God want to change us? Does God want to use you to change something in your church or a girl in your church or a neighbor or a family member? Don't start putting your stuff away. We are almost done. I'm sorry. I'm not going to keep you long. Okay? I know you're itchy. Do you have a plan to do something you heard in a workshop? And you say, that was so good. But are the notes going to just get chucked? Are you going to have a plan to do what God spoke to you about? If God spoke to you about something, maybe on the way home, you could share with somebody and say, God spoke to me about this and I'm going to do it. And here's my plan. Hold me to it. Right? Or our time here was just fun. I hope you want to do what God has spoken to you about so that you can hope continually. Amen. Amen. God, you are so good. We are so unworthy. And yet you have set your love upon us. May we set our hope on you. You are our hope. And as the days of evil draw close, if your son does not return quickly or soon in our lifetime, God, may we pass down this heritage of hope to the next generation, that when Christ returns, there will be a generation who is still seeking you and still propagating their faith and living for the glory of God. You are our hope and we love you. Thank you so much for this precious time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
I've heard Tim Murphy.